Hey guys, we got a great conversation today with Mac Powell, the former lead singer of Third Day, the singer-songwriter. He's got a new album out, and I can't wait for you guys to hear our conversation with the biggest Alabama football fan I know. And it's coming up now on Sports Spectrum.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am Jason Romano, and this is Sports Spectrum's podcast. We are the intersection of sports and faith and sometimes some music as well. We got Mac Powell today on the show, the former lead singer from Third Day, and we're definitely going to talk some music. We're going to talk some football, specifically Alabama football, and we're going to talk about what God has been doing in his life over the past year or so. He's got a new album out coming in October 15th. It's called New Creation, and y'all got to go pick that up. Mac Powell is our guest today on Sports Spectrum. Before we get to Mac, just want to tell you a little bit about our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can check it out at sportsspectrum.com and subscribe right now for just $18 for 1 year or $30 for a two-year subscription. It's available again at sportsspectrum.com. You click that magazine icon, and you can order the Sports Spectrum magazine. And every Sports Spectrum magazine subscription now includes not only the print edition, but you also get a digital edition of the magazine that actually comes your way before you get the print edition. And our football issue is coming out in just a few weeks, maybe even less than that. So you want to get the Sports Spectrum magazine right now so that you can get our brand new football magazine, our preview, our 2021 preview, and it's available at sportsspectrum.com. You can subscribe today. We're so glad to have Mac Powell here today on Sports Spectrum. He actually joined the show, I think it aired back in January of 2018. We recorded it in late 2017, and at that time, he was still with Third Day. And right after we recorded our conversation, they made an announcement, and the band disbanded. It ended in 2018, but they were a band for 25 years. They've sold over 7 million albums in the United States, had 28 number one Christian album chart radio hits. I mean, it's Third Day, right? One of the great bands of all time. And Mac is now a solo artist. He went into the country realm for a little bit, has a couple of solo country albums, and now he's got this new one called New Creation coming October 15th. And he's also a gigantic Alabama Crimson Tide fan. We talk Alabama, we talk the new album, we talk about marriage, we also talk about the Beatles. I am a huge Beatles fan, Mac is a big Beatles fan, and we share a little bit about our love for the Beatles as well. Take a listen to Mac Powell, joining us right now on Sports Spectrum. Mac Powell, welcome back to Sports Spectrum.
Man, first of all, it's great to be back. I said this last time, the first time I was on with you, that I used to read Sports Spectrum magazine back in the day. And so it's so cool that you've brought it back and that you're, you know, doing this podcast. It's cool for me to be able to, I feel like a high school kid again. But the thing that I'm a little worried about that I have a question for is that if it's been 4 years, did I do that bad of an interview that you're like, I'm going to give the guy some time. I'm going to let him kind of get some experience.
I mean, you're welcome back to come on every week if you want, Mac. I'm just trying to like give some people some space. You know,
I want to be your sidekick on the show. I want to be like, you know, anytime. I want to be the Ed McMahon.
I love it. You pick the guest and we'll have you do an interview anytime you want on Sports Spectrum.
Great.
When you were on last time too, I remember you had an announcement that you couldn't make yet. You said some things are coming down the pike. We're not allowed to say it yet. And this was like December of 17, January of 18. And I didn't realize that there was some big news coming down that you guys announced that Third Day was coming to an end in 2018. So it's been now 3 years. What's this been like now for the last 3 years as a solo artist and kind of still being known certainly for a band that you were a part of for 20 plus years?
Yeah, well, it's definitely been interesting. It's been good though. It was something that even though it's been 3 years now that Third Day has been over with, people don't realize we had not actually done, I'd started doing independent solo country stuff. So we had not done a tour for 18 months before that announcement. So really for me, it's been 5 years of really not being in the band. And even a year or so before that, we had been having the discussions of like, how do we knew we wanted to be done, but we had always talked our whole career about, hey, when we're done, we're not going to really make announcements about it. We're just going to kind of fade off into the sunset. Cause you never know, a few years down the road, you might want to come back and do some more shows or whatever. Sure. And so we weren't going to make an announcement and do anything about it. And I had gone on, everybody had kind of gone on and started doing other things. And I was kind of in the middle of trying to start this solo career. And then all of a sudden, in the fall of, I guess that would that be 17? Yeah. Tom Petty died. Yes. And, you know, I'm a huge Tom Petty fan. And I'm kind of moping around the house for a couple of weeks. And Amy, and that's not normally is not, you know, I don't get depressed. I don't really get sad too much. So Amy is like, what's going on with you? And I said to her, I said, my friend died. So I'm still sad. Even though I never met Tom Petty, he was my friend, you know, and he passed away. And it was a big, cause it was a big surprise, you know, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
And so she called me. She was running some errand and she called me out of the blue and she said, I know you don't want to hear this, but I think you guys should go do one last tour together. And I didn't really want to do that because I'd already moved on, you know, and we'd always talked about not making announcements and not making it a big deal. And so she said, the way that you feel about Tom Petty, there's a lot of people who feel that way about Third Day. So you should give him a chance one more time to come see you. And I said, okay, well, I'll think about it and pray about it. And so I got together with Mark and we talked it through. And so we ended up doing it. And it was a fun tour, but it was really hard. It was a lot. We did so much in a short amount of time and there was a lot of flying back and forth. It wasn't the fun get on the bus and hang with your brothers like we were used to. It was a lot of get up early in the morning, fly somewhere, sound check, do the show, and then on to the next one. So, yeah. But I'm glad we did it. We did have fun. I don't want to make it sound like we didn't have fun, but it was a lot of work, but I am glad we did it. And, yeah. And so now just happy to still be making music. I'm, you know, got a record coming out in October, a new single just came out a couple of weeks ago. And so, yeah, life is good.
Yeah, River of Life is the new single. I've been digging it. It's really good. And the album comes out October 15th. It's called New Creation, right? Can you tell us real quick about the album and what we can expect?
Yeah, I worked to it. It was a very different process than I did with Third Day for, you know, for 25 years. We were a band. We'd get together. I'd kind of talk through some song ideas. We'd all share some stuff. And then we'd get in a room together and record it. And this was very different. And we wrote the vast majority of the songs were songs we wrote. If we ever had a song that we recorded that we didn't write, it was just because we heard something that we really loved and wanted to cover it. And so this time I would go to Nashville and start writing. I started writing in January of 2018. And for your watchers and listeners who don't know, I live in Atlanta. Yeah. It's about 4 hours from Nashville. So I would drive to Nashville, write for 2 or 3 days with these professional songwriters. That's what they do every day, you know, 5 days a week for their career. And that was very different. I'd never done that before. And I actually was surprised that I enjoyed the process. I didn't think that I would. And so a lot of these songwriters are producers as well. And you sit there and they're using computers and putting together, you know, the tracks while you're writing the song. And so by the time we're done at the end of the day, you have a really good sounding. It's about 85% of a, you know, it's kind of like with NFL where they have their preseason game, you know, the game before their last preseason game is kind of the one where they really kick in and start getting for real.
Yes.
Kind of like that. It's like the demo is like a preseason game because you're playing, but you're not putting everything together completely. And so when it was time to put the record together, the 85% of the whole thing is already done. So you just get a real drummer in on stuff and a few more guitar parts and some better vocals and things like that. But so that was so, so different than the process that I'm used to, but I loved it. I'm really excited about these songs. I mean, it kind of goes without saying an artist is not going to put out a record unless they're excited about people hearing it. I know that's dumb to say, but yeah, it's a fun record. A lot of autobiographical kind of songs on there. So I'm excited about people hearing the whole thing.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. It comes out October 15th. And again, it's called New Creation. River of Life is the new single. You can go listen to it now everywhere music is found. I promise we'll talk a little sports, but I am fascinated certainly by the music side of things and what we've already discussed. But I was following you on Instagram. I do follow you on Instagram. And one of your most recent posts was about this new Paul McCartney 3-2-1 documentary that's on Hulu. Yeah. And it's a 6-episode series with Paul McCartney and the legendary producer, Rick Rubin. I was fascinated when I came upon this, when I watched it. I binge watched it, which doesn't say a whole lot about the time I have, I guess, Mac, but I binge watched the whole thing on a Friday night while my daughter was working and we just were home a couple weeks ago, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. What did you think of it? I know you've watched just the first
couple episodes. I love it. And I've been, as soon as I found out, when I saw the trailer a year ago, I was so super excited. And so Scotty Wilbanks, who played keys with Third Day forever, and now was playing with the country artist Luke Bryan, he said, "Hey man, when this comes out, we got to watch it together." So that's why I had not seen it until last night, because we've been waiting. I don't know how long it's been out, a couple of months,
a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so. Yeah. Okay.
And so we were like, "All right, we're not going to watch it until we can get together and watch it." So he came over to the house last night and we watched the first 3 episodes. And yeah, it's so good. And I've heard a lot of the stories that, you know, through, I'm a big McCartney fan, so Beatles and McCartney. So through the years, I've heard some of these stories and interviews that he's done, but it's just so, it's done so well. And Rick Rubin, man, what an amazing producer, great podcaster and interviewer. So yeah, it's done really well.
It was such an interesting way that they shot it too. And I'm looking at it from the perspective of, you know, putting my producer hat on, right? The whole thing's in black and white. Rick Rubin is in shorts and a t-shirt and barefoot. Yeah, no shoes.
And that's just typical Rick Rubin too.
Right. But it was fascinating to hear them talk shop, but the way that they were able to gain access to all those old songs, not just Beatles songs, but McCartney songs, and be able to play around on the board there, to listen to just the music or just the vocal or just the soundtrack, whatever it was. And I was like, man, and then to hear them talk about songs and kind of how it came together as a musician, that must be fascinating to watch from your perspective. I mean, I'm just a fan, but from a person who's been playing music for many years successfully, that has to be really neat to watch.
It's so great. You know, and it's, what's great is that you've got Rick Rubin, who's produced everything from the Beastie Boys to Jay-Z to Tom Petty to all these amazing artists. He's done some incredible records through the years, and you can tell that he's a fan.
Absolutely.
So he's sitting there pulling these tracks up on the board. McCartney's, you know, they pull up, actually there were 2 or 3 songs even in the first 3 episodes that I'd never heard before. They're kind of these obscure songs. And it was interesting that they would grab some of those songs too, and not just the big hits that everybody knows. And to be able to hear those individual parts, and Paul would go, "Hey, I remember playing this," and, you know, hearing the tones. It's interesting when you take them one at a time and listen, not all together, and how different it sounds, and how some of them sound really, really great. And you're like, man, I had no idea that guitar part or that bass part was that good, because you can't hear it, you know, as well with it when it's all together. And then there's some times where you hear a vocal or what, even Paul, you know, he pulled a vocal up and he's like, "Oh, put it back down," because it didn't sound great. But it's like when you put all those elements together, it's an amazing record.
It's mind blowing to me that they haven't been a band in 50, whatever it is, 51 years, 52 years, maybe a little bit longer. And yet people still gravitate towards their music. I mean, there's a channel on Sirius XM just for them. There's documentaries. There's a new Peter Jackson documentary that's coming out in November on the Get Back series and all the, you know, it's just fascinating to me. And I'm a fan, so I see it. But why they keep drawing you back to a band that hasn't played music together in 50 years.
And they weren't a band for a long time either. You know, a guy who's coming from a band that was in a band for 25 years, I look at the Beatles and I think they were together
maybe 10.
Maybe 10 years. I don't even think it was that long.
Yeah.
And I go, just, man, it was, and here's funny. I have friends even, and I don't, and they may see this podcast. I've gotten to a point where, There are some haters. There are some people who are like, "I don't get the Beatles. I don't even argue anymore." I'm like, man,
same.
It's asinine to hear that conversation. It's like, this is the greatest band of all time, and it is some of the greatest music of all time. And so, you know, if someone doesn't like it, that's their prerogative. But I don't understand it. I don't know how you can't. And the spectrum, to use, you know, your term, the spectrum of the kind of music that they did.
Yes.
Was so wide. It's just amazing.
And how they evolved in 3 years. Like you think now, you go back and listen to a song 3 years ago in 2018 there's no new music. It's pretty much the same kind of music. It's just a different song or whatever. Right. But in 1964, we'll say, when they're on Ed Sullivan and doing A Hard Day's Night, and you listen to that kind of beboppy song, and then 3 years later, they're doing Sgt. Pepper, which is completely out of left field different. It's so mind-blowing.
It is. We can go on and on. Let's do one. Let's do a podcast on the Beatles.
Mac, we do. We need to launch one. We'll call it a Sports Spectrum Music Special. I don't know what we'll call it, but we could do a Beatles podcast for sure. All right. My last question on the Beatles. I kind of gave you a heads up on this, so hopefully you were thinking about it. Your favorite, well, actually two questions. Your favorite Beatles album, which if you could pick that, and then your maybe favorite three Beatles songs that come to mind.
Man, that's a tough one. Album, I would probably go with Sgt. Pepper's just because it was such a different thing. You know, it was one of the first actual albums where they, you know, you didn't have just singles that were put together. It was like, we're going to make a whole bunch of songs as a group. So it was one of the first actual studio albums in terms of what we think of an album as.
Yes.
And then, you know, so many great songs on that record. So I would go with Sgt. Pepper's, even though I know that's the, like, most what people would say. Let It Be's pretty awesome too. Mm-hmm. I think song wise, being, you know, it was so interesting. Mark Lee, who was in band, who started Third Day with me.
Sure.
We were in a bunch of bands back in there. The first band we were in together was the John McEachern High School Marching Band. That was the first band. And then we were a couple of garage bands, and then we ended up being a Third Day. But he was a big Lennon fan. I was a big McCartney fan. So, you know, we'd always debate on who was better, and they're both amazing artists and writers. But I tend to lean towards the more McCartney kind of stuff. So Yesterday is probably one of the top, maybe a top three song for me in my life. So that's going to be one of my, probably my favorite Beatles song, Yesterday.
Yeah.
Let It Be and Hey Jude. I mean, those are, which is interesting because I play guitar. I'm not a great guitar player, but I play guitar. I don't play piano at all. And yet somehow with Let It Be and Hey Jude, that piano based stuff is just amazing. The melodies, the songs, just amazing. So those are my top three.
Hey guys, want to take a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to tell you about a brand new project we have coming your way Wednesday night, September 8th, 8 p.m. Eastern on our Facebook, YouTube, and sportspectrum.com channels. And this is a brand new football show we have. It's called Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. And it's a show unlike any other, because it's a weekly football show. There'll be about 20 episodes here taking you throughout the football season, both in the NFL and college, and maybe even some high school football as well. But it's a look inside the players, the coaches, the analysts who are covering the game and doing what we do best. We're bringing Jesus into the football conversation. Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. I can't wait for you to hear this show. The hosts are going to be myself, Fox Sports' Brock Huard, you know Brock, Fox Sports analyst, and Jade McCarthy, the former ESPN SportsCenter anchor. This is going to be a lot of fun. Every single week, every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, starting September 8th, is Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. Tune in, and I'm so glad that football is back. Check it all out at sportspectrum.com or our Facebook and YouTube channels, Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. Mac Powell is our guest here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. And I mean, Roll Tide, right, Mac? I mean, it's pretty much the greatest time ever to be an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. And it's, I mean, you got to be loving it right now, right? It's like, it's the best time.
It's crazy, man. You know, what's funny is I'm from everybody around Georgia. They're like, why are you an Alabama fan? You're a bandwagon fan. And I'm like, I'm from Alabama. And so when you're born in Alabama and raised in Alabama, it's, you don't have a choice. It on your birth certificate, there's a box Alabama fan or Auburn fan, and your parents check it for you. You have nothing to do with it. And so you can't change. Yeah. And so, you know, I grew up Alabama fan. And what's so interesting, when you're growing up in the 80s, you hear about all these championships from the Bear in the 60s and 70s. And I'm sitting there as a kid going, we're not that good. I wish we were, you know, that good again. Every once in a while you have a good season, but there was nothing like that. In 92, they won a championship. And, you know, I finally, after all these years through the 80s, really bad years. And that's the thing I try to tell all the, you know, Georgia Bulldog fans around here that think I'm a bandwagon fan. I go, you have no idea the years through the 80s and 90s that I was praying and hoping for a bowl game.
Right.
You know, hoping to be able to go to the Music City Bowl in Nashville, you know, or something like that. That was like a good season. So when you half your life, you don't have, you know, when you hear about the history and the great teams they had, but you're not seeing that except every once in a while. You know, when you get to a time like this, which is just, I don't want to say it's unprecedented, but, you know, there's the debate as far as like who's better, Bear Bryant or Nick Saban. It's like, to me, it's not even a debate anymore. And I love Coach Bear Bryant, but it's just a different day and there's so much more competition and, you know, and you have different rules as far as recruiting and all that stuff and how many players you can have on a team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just so amazing what he has done, and it won't last forever, but I'm enjoying it while I can. This past championship, the game was the only championship game that I haven't gone to under Saban, and it was because of COVID. And I actually got a ticket, you know, a few days before, and I ended up going, I just can't go.
Yeah.
And so it's just, and also, you know, I was afraid of Ohio State. I went to the Sugar Bowl. We had the very first, when they had the playoff, the very first one, we were against Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl, and I went and we lost. And I was like, oh, Ohio State again. Oh. So I was like afraid of spending the money and going and having a loss. And so I didn't go. And so COVID is my excuse, but there was more than that.
Were you at any of the national championships where they didn't win, like a couple of those Clemson games? Did you go to those?
So that's
you feel like, you know, you got punched in the stomach, right?
Terrible. I flew a lot of these games. I'll only be there for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because I'm out on the road. So I'll fly in, you know, see the game, spend the night and fly back somewhere early the next morning. And so David Nasser, my good friend, has been to most of the, not all, but most of the championship games with me. And we met in Santa Clara. And I flew to San Francisco, drove to Santa Clara, saw the game, and just was supposed to spend the night that night and fly out in the morning. And as we're driving, we actually left a few minutes early. It was just kind of inevitable we were going to lose. So we left to try to beat the crowd out of there. And I'm driving we're driving to the hotel at the airport. And I said, you know what? I'm just going home. So I called up Delta, changed my flight, and took a red eye back. So I was there for like 8 or 9 hours, maybe.
Wow.
Flew in, saw the game, and flew right back home. I was like so depressed. I didn't even want to stay there.
That's real fandom. That's good. That's real fandom.
It's so silly. You know, I'm letting these college kids dictate my life. And I'm like, why? I've got friends who see me out on the road when I'm watching a game who are in other bands or whatever. And they come around and watch the game with me for a few minutes. And they're like, man, I wish I was into college football like you were. And I'm like, don't do it. Don't get started. If you don't care now, don't get started. Because it just, you know, for all the championship games, you've got one game can just break your heart for months.
Yes, it does too. I remember going to Tampa. I think it was in my last year at ESPN when I went to Tampa and saw the Alabama Clemson game where Deshaun Watson threw the touchdown at the end to Hunter Renfrow. And I'm like, man, that's brutal if you're an Alabama fan for that one. I will say this, Mac, I was in Tuscaloosa, first time ever in Tuscaloosa, just a couple months ago, late February. I got asked to go speak at a church down there, and I went down, and one of my buddies took me around. He's connected with Alabama and just took me around. It's late February, right? So you're talking, you know, I think school was on vacation. There wasn't really any big sports starting yet. I think softball was getting ready to start and baseball. But we were there on a Saturday and a Sunday in a quiet, you know, late February day, and it's still, you could tell, like, it's just different being in Tuscaloosa, walking around the campus, and you go in front of Bryant Denny Stadium and you just see, I mean, it's just awesome being down there. I said, I got to go back there in the fall or maybe fall of 2022, we'll see with COVID, and just get that experience of going to a game there.
Yeah, It's amazing. It's a lot of fun.
What's your favorite game that you've ever attended in person?
Ooh. Oh, man. The first thing that comes to mind was the champion. No. Okay, I've changed my mind. I knew right away. Okay. So when we won the national championship game against Georgia, was mm-hmm. in Atlanta. What was it, 3 years ago when Tua threw the touchdown pass?
To Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith. I guess it would have been three or four years ago. I forget what year it was. But at halftime, I wanted to leave. I was so just mad. We were down at halftime. Yeah. My son was with me and my wife, and I said, let's just go. I don't want to put up with this. We were down like significantly. I have a terrible memory. I think it was like 10 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
10 or 13. And, you know, and I can't even remember if Jalen had gotten hurt. I had gotten hurt at that point. I think he had. And I was just like, we're losing this game. Let's go. And my wife and son are like, no, let's just hang around a little bit more. And I'm so thankful. I mean, when Tua made that pass to Devontae Smith, the last play of the game to win the championship, I mean, I could not, I was like, it was amazing.
Euphoria.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's cool. What's your favorite piece of memorabilia as we're doing this for those listening? We're doing this on Zoom, and I can see, and you kind of showed me before we started recording, you know, some of the memorabilia that you have behind you. You got a Alabama football helmet there. I see an Alabama football signed by a couple of players. What's your favorite piece of memorabilia that you have?
You know, what's interesting is it's probably not, I mean, I have some here. I'm going to move up my camera.
Okay.
I got that football at the top. There's a basketball on fire. That football is signed by John Wooden, you know, famous UCLA basketball.
Yeah.
The basketball is. The football is signed by Marcus Allen, Hall of Famer running back. This football is signed by Nick Saban. That's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's
this
a good
is
one.
Helmet by AJ McCarron. I've got a bunch of stuff. Here's a football that's signed by Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram, which was the, you know, at the time was the two only Heisman winners. Now we got, of course, Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
I got him on there. That'd be killer.
So absolutely.
If anybody watching can get me hooked up with Devontae's signature, please. I've got
we'll make a trip to Philadelphia and try to find him there at the Eagles.
Right. Which is so cool that he's there, you know, going to be playing with Hurts. So,
yes.
You know, my favorite thing is probably not even in here. I have an amazing, and it's not even signed, but a huge Mike Matheny is a good friend, and he was coaching the Cardinals a few years ago. He's coaching the Royals now.
Yeah.
And when he was with the Cardinals, I went and did an event for him. And they had, you know, I know you've been in there, those rooms where you go in and like you sign up to kind of win the auction.
Yes.
And so they had all this Cardinals stuff. I grew up a Cardinals fan, even though I'm a Braves fan now, I'm still a closet Cardinals. I grew up a Cardinals fan until, you know, basically from birth until I was, you know, a sophomore, junior in high school. Once you move to Atlanta, then you kind of get, you got to start pulling for the home team.
Sure.
So, and then Terry Pendleton was one of my favorite players with the Cardinals. He was a third baseman. He ended up in Atlanta. Once Terry came over to Atlanta, I was like, all right, I'll pull for, I hated the Braves. I said, well, I'll pull for the Braves now that Terry's there. And then Lonnie Smith also came in. And so,
well, then they had a pretty good 1990s run. So you picked the right team, right?
Yeah. Well, in 92, you know, they went from last place to first place. And so, yeah, you get caught up in it. But anyway, I got this huge, I went into this auction and I was the first one there because I was playing. So I was sound checking and nobody was there yet. So I saw all this Cardinal stuff just lined up on two major walls at this golf course in their room there. And so I went, oh, I want this. And I signed up for it. Oh, I want this. And I signed up. And after I was done, I went, oh, crap. I've signed up for like a dozen things. And if I get some of these, it's going to be thousands of dollars. So at the end, I'm like, oh, my wife is going to kill me. I cannot get all this stuff. So luckily, I only got maybe two or three things, but I have this huge picture of Ozzie Smith doing a backflip. And actually, it is signed. So that's one of my favorites, but I don't have it. I don't have it. It's downstairs.
Oh, that's awesome. St. Louis Cardinals fan. My dad's a big Cardinals fan. And I remember being a Mets fan in the 80s as a, you know, a teenager, watching them battle the Cardinals every year. It was quite the time for baseball. That was fun stuff.
If your dad is a Cardinals fan, I'm sure that he was not did not like you being a Mets fan.
He did not. He tried. And, you know, he was a Bob Gibson fan when he was a kid in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
So, he tried. But then Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden came on the scene, and that was it for me.
Man, I hated the Mets when I was a kid. But when you were the prime years for you, I just could not stand the Mets.
Yeah, they were a hated team. I mean, there's a documentary coming out on ESPN about the 86 Mets in September, I think, that will be interesting to watch because they were not a liked team at all.
And Boston was my American League team, so I especially hated that. So
tough times. Well, let me ask you just as we wind down here, a couple of faith questions. We haven't really dove into it, obviously, for Third Day and being a part of Third Day's music. Obviously, the Lord and faith are really important to you, especially in the songs that you guys put together and released. What's the lesson? What's the, you know, the thing that God has shown you or taught you when you think back maybe over the last year and a half, you know, since that pandemic hit, I think is kind of like the gauge when we can really all look back to March of 2020. And God, I think, was doing a work and still is doing a work in all of our lives. When you think back the last year and a half, personally, professionally, spiritually, what do you think God was showing you and teaching you?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think that many of us, especially believers, I hope anyway, you know, you see and you recognize the pain, the hardships, the loss that so many people have gone through, and we're still experiencing that. I mean, there's still a lot of stuff going on. One of my best friend's brother just passed away from coronavirus. And so, you know, it's tough. I think in some regards, we feel like we're right at the edge of the tunnel. And then in other regards, it feels like there's being more added to the tunnel.
Yeah.
And that we're further, you know, when we take two steps forward, there's one step back. And so there's still tough times and stuff, tough struggles ahead of us. But I tend to, and I think believers tend to kind of try to find the silver lining in it. And for me, there was a season of a few months there where I had my whole family at home. You know, I've got five kids and my wife and I just celebrated 25 years of marriage. And in that beginning, thank you. In that beginnings of when everybody's just staying at home and not going anywhere, it was amazing time for us. We had some great times of dinner and playing in the yard together and board games and all this stuff that we would have never probably done. We would have done a little bit of that stuff, but being able to be there for a couple of months together, having everybody and not being where some of the kids can go, hey, can I go to so-and-so's house or can so-and-so come over here? The answer is no. Right. And after a while they realize, no, we're not doing anything. We're staying here as a family. And so that was a special, special time I'll never forget. I think that, you know, that was one of the things I learned just through that and through me being able to continue to make music and sign a record deal with Capitol and, you know, have the other opportunities that I've got still presenting themselves. I'm at a place I'm very thankful. I feel like I've always been a thankful person, but there's something about, and maybe it's just comes with growing older or whatever, or the season we're in, I don't know, but I'm thankful man right now.
Well, you also walked through right before COVID a pretty big health scare with your wife, Amy, right? And so that must have been almost like the first step in being thankful and relying on God to get you through the COVID time, because that was a big health scare, right?
Yeah, it was. She had a brain aneurysm in Thanksgiving of 19. And is that right? 19, yeah. And it was just out of the blue. And, you know, she could have easily lost her life or had some long-term physical or mental deficiencies. I meet people all the time who, you know, have lost loved ones or have met actual people who've had brain aneurysms who are not doing well. And so it's, you know, I'm thankful that she's doing so great. And there are a lot of people that prayed for her. And I'm just saying, you're right. I mean, that kind of began this season for me of having so much to be thankful for, and which we always do, but just this season of especially calling out to God and really needing his help and knowing that I can't really do anything without him.
Leave us with this, Mac Powell. This has been great. And thanks for all the time that you've provided with us. You mentioned 25 years of marriage with Amy, which is just awesome. I'll be 22 in November. So I'm a little behind you, a couple years behind you. But what's the one thing, if people are listening, maybe somebody's listening that's getting married, somebody's listening that has been married, but just for a couple of years, What's the one thing, if you can think of one, that you believe has kind of kept the marriage intact for so long and kept you guys going strong at 25 years?
That's a great question. For me, and I don't know if this is something that we read in a book early on or something that we heard in a seminar or whatever, but we learned early on to fight well. You're going to fight. You're going to argue about stuff. But, you know, to not call names, to not, you know, say things that, you know, just aren't true. You can express your feelings, but to say stuff, you know, like, will you always whatever. You got to be careful about that stuff. But you know, hey, let's have respect for each other in our argument. Let's not try to put each other down and call each other certain names or whatever. I think that's a huge, I know it sounds like a simple thing and it is, but it's not always simple when you're in the middle of it, you know? And so yeah. Just to remember, to remind each other of that. And we've tried our best and we haven't always been great at it, but we've tried our best to never, I think there's been maybe, I don't even want to say a handful, maybe two or three nights out of 25 years that we've been married where we went to bed angry. We usually 99.9% of the time you work it out, you talk it through, and you may still even go to bed, you know, upset or whatever, but and fall asleep with not everything 100% worked out, but at least to not, that's the two things I would say, fight well and to try your best to work it out before you go to sleep.
That's really good advice. He is Mac Powell. And you're back on the road September 30th. You're going to be touring through the end of November with Stephen Curtis Chapman. You got this Christmas tour, this K-Love Christmas tour with Casting Crowns and some other bands. It's going to be really fun in the month of December. So there's ways to go out and see you in concert. I wish you were coming up to the Northeast. Maybe sometime in 2022, we can make it back up here. But so good to talk to you, my friend. So good to have you back on the show and all the best. And hopefully we'll have you back on soon. We'll do that Beatles podcast. What do you say?
Yeah. And hey, don't let it be another 4 years before I'm back on.
I will not let it be, Mac Powell.
Hey!
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Jason. Have a good one.
And many thanks to Mac Powell, the singer-songwriter, for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. We talked a little Third Day. We talked about his new album. It's called New Creation, coming October 15th. Make sure you listen on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your music. And, of course, the new song River of Life is out now, his new single. You can go and listen to that. I've been kind of singing that a little louder than normal here. My daughter actually walked in on me singing that song pretty loud and just gave me a look. She didn't even say anything. She just gave me that look, which is what teenagers do. But that's okay, because I love Mac Powell. I love his voice, and I love Third Day and their songs as well. So this was a big treat for me. It really was, to talk to Mac. We had some fun talking football as well, and certainly all that God's been doing in his life, being so thankful over the past year and a half to spend time with his family and to see his wife, Amy, recovering from the brain aneurysm. And now Mac's back on the road. I mentioned it at the end of the conversation, but he'll be touring with Stephen Curtis Chapman September 30th through November 19th. You can learn more online. Just search Mac Powell and you can find those dates. He actually shared them on his Instagram page as well, so you can find it there. And then he's doing a Christmas tour for about 19 days from December 1st to the 19th of December with Casting Crowns and some other friends. You can learn more and check that out as well at his Instagram page, or just search Mac Powell Tour and you'll find all the details online. Appreciate Mac for being here today on Sports Spectrum. We appreciate you guys as well for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time for a brand new episode. Check out our sportspectrum.com website, updated every day with new content, including our podcasts, devotionals, articles, and stories on the intersection of sports and faith. And make sure you tune in Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. I told you about it in the middle of this conversation, but I'm telling you again, it's a brand new show that we're really excited about. It's called Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. And you can watch it live, 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday nights, or stream it online after it airs. But I'm telling you, you guys are going to love this football show. If you love football and you love Jesus, this is the show. Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant, starting September 8th, 8 p.m. Eastern, at sportspectrum.com and on our YouTube and Facebook channels. Thanks so much for tuning in. We love you guys. We'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe. See you soon.